hurts.
It's almost like he asked permission to hurt. And he's a kid. And he'll, you know, mom, I'm not having a good day. I just hug him. And I always tell my kids, like I tell anyone else, baby, you need to cry, cry, scream, kick, shout, whatever it is you need to do, you got to do it. But it's like we always, it's like we're seeking permission. And I'm not sure where that stems from. I'm looking into that because I'm like, you know, mourn.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Two Young Hearts, the podcast, where we talk about all things mental health related and where our mission is to target and eradicate suicide and depression. Today, we have a very special guest, and I'm super excited that she agreed to do this show with me. She's a transformational life and business mentor, and you may know her by her alternative name, The Grief Anthologist. She's the author to 3 books, naming The Unexplained Pain, A Sister's Cry, Blue Girls Turned Gold Anthology, and From Grief to Grind. You've been married for 13 years. You have 3 kids. You're collaborating with different companies. And you were recently featured in an Essence Edition interview last year. And now you are gracing me with the honor of being on my show. How are you, Miss Andrea A. Moore?
I am good. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you so much for being here today.
Yes, absolutely.
It's a real pleasure to have you here. And I think it's so great because so many of our listeners are going to have a lot to take away from today. So just jumping right into it, one of your brands, you call it a lifestyle brand, and it's called From Grief to Grind. First off, how did you come up with that name?
Well, in 2010, I lost my only sister to breast cancer. Her name is Angela Foster, and she was 39 years old. And when she first, the very first time she got diagnosed, I come from a Christian home, we're very religious based. So, and as well as herself, because she even said herself, you know, I'm going to be healed. We're going to get through this. She went through remission, and everything seemed fine. She went back for a checkup. The cancer came back. Well, the last time I personally knew, I'm like, it's only so much your body can handle physically. So during her last days, her and I had a lot of moments because at that point, she didn't want to do experimental drugs. She was tired of chemo. So she pretty much was like, yeah, no, you know, like, let's just, you know, let God work it out. Mm-hmm. However, unfortunately, my parents lost their oldest daughter and I lost my only sister. We have the same mother and father. We are 9.5 years apart. And I thought when my grandmother passed, I felt grief. But when my sister passed, it was a whole nother ball game. Because they describe your siblings as your best friend. You know, they're not really your twin, but they're really your twin. You know, y'all have similar attributes. Y'all do some things the same. Y'all look alike. Her and I look a lot alike. So that is when I truly felt what grief is or what grief was, because I really couldn't describe it because nobody explained it to me. So From Grief to Grind was birthed from that moment and moments after. When I lost my sister, I lost my home, I lost the business, I lost myself. And in essence, I lost my parents because they went through the unthinkable. No parent wants to bury their child. Just this is not, you know, what we want to see. So there's a lot of things that I learned about myself. I went through a lot of transitions. I often tell people I probably went through more transitions than some people have in their lifetime because it was so many things that happened after that. I lost my aunt in 2017 and my aunt died. She was the person who always told me that I was to minister to women. Well, of course, when I think minister, I think the pulpit. And I'm like, I just talked to a teacher and she is moving up to high school next year. And she is hurting for her 8th graders because she's like, oh my God, I'm going to leave them. Now, who thinks a teacher mourns like that? She was really hurt. And I'm like, yeah, but you can always come back and see how those students are doing. That's the best part about what you do. And then she's like, I never thought of it that way. And I kind of, you know, that she had a deep breath then. So yeah. Never be ashamed to grieve, ever.
I want to transition a little bit into talking about business and depth. So how do you define confidence when it comes to business?
Can you repeat the question?
Sure. So like when you're talking about confidence and, you know, business, how do you define that when you come to maybe you're confident enough or you're motivated enough to start this business? How do you define confidence when it comes to
business? So I define confidence in business. That is a great question. Okay. I think you almost got me, girl. Almost. I believe that majority of business owners or someone that has an idea, because this can test to both ways, they almost need to go through a loss transition. Now, let me explain. So if I hadn't lost my very first business, I don't think met back up. I know I wouldn't be who I am today. So I had to lose that business, learn a lesson, and imply, implement, plan, pursue, however you want to put it, to who I am today. So one thing that I am wholeheartedly in love with that has boosted my confidence as well as the clients I work with is I call it the holistic way of living. Meditation, prayer, affirmations, and clean eating. Now, we hear self-care all the time, right? Self-care this, self-care that, you know, go get a pedicure, go do this. Everyone's self-care is different. My self-care is at 5 a.m. when it's just me. Nobody's awake in this house. And it's just me and my thoughts. Because being at peace during my time is morning. I'm not a night person. After 7 o'clock, I'm asleep, right? So your time may be evening, whatever your time is, set aside the holistic time, the peace time, where you meditate, you read your affirmation or affirmations or mantras, or even a book. You can add a motivational book into that. And you're sitting there with a clear mind and a clear heart. And then what I do personally is by the afternoon, I write what I'm grateful for. Those two aspects of life that take maybe 30 minutes total to do those two things has helped me boost my confidence when I have something business owners have. I call it the identity crisis of everybody making six figures. And I say it just like that. Oh my gosh, she did. Oh my God. And that imposter syndrome kicks in, that lack of confidence kicks in, and all you're doing is you're either not pursuing the gift you're given, that's the ideal person, or you're in business and you're just plan. You're consistently planning and not generating profit. And when I say profit, I don't mean money. I mean a profit into yourself. You're not generating that because you're just, everybody's making six figures and everything looks good. But what you don't know is what they had to do to get there. And anybody, and I know 4 6-figure earners, and they all say the same thing. We had to lose so much to gain this. And they weren't even talking about just in profit, just life situations. So
yeah,
building confidence in business, it takes personal peace, holistic work. And that's how I look at it.
So basically, you have to lose, and that gives you the confidence to kind of grow whatever you have built or whatever you're trying to build.
Yes.
So I'm going to shift a little bit more and ask, so
I know that starting a business is hard. It can be difficult. If someone was looking to start a business, how should they approach that? What should their foundational reasons be?
So the first thing is your idea money driven or is it passion driven? That would be the first thing I would ask them. The reason being is there's nothing wrong with neither. However, sometimes we are so passionate about what we do, we don't understand that our time is money per se. Everything isn't about money, but our time is money. So we'll just do it for cheap or we'll do it for free. And then what happens is we get bogged down with so many tasks, so many things to do, and we're doing it from free. We're doing it from the kindness of our heart or at a low price. And then our confidence shifts because you're not seeing the reward. Now, if we're to the money side, if your business is money driven, stocks, like one of my biggest things is to have a web design company. That's money driven for me. That's not anything to do with passion. That's just money driven, right? So with that, you need to set it up like a corporation, because most likely things that are money driven, you're probably not going to work in it. You'll probably be the CEO, but you're going to have employees or people working for you or contractors. So distinguish those two things. The second thing I would tell them is your idea is your idea. Embrace that. Those two things, passion-driven and money-driven, or money-driven, and embracing your idea. So how many times have you seen that on Facebook or Instagram and you see this t-shirt, right? And the t-shirt comes up, you're like, oh my God, you know, that's an awesome t-shirt. Man, I can do that. There's so many things we can do, but are we supposed to do it? Like I can make a t-shirt. I can go on Teespring and make a t-shirt, put an ad up there and generate some passive income. I can, but I'll be honest, I don't like to do it. Like, I'm just like dragging, because that's not my, I call it my zone. Like I can do some things, but that's not my zone. The third thing I would tell them is get ready to invest in yourself. Now, people hear the word invest, what do they think of? Money. How much is it? Change that. How much is the investment? And when I say how much, for me personally, it is not always about money, ever. So I'll give you a prime example. I collaborate with Matt About Your Business. And that is a local networking agency that we have locally here in Central Texas. I've been doing that for 2 years. And when I collaborated with the young ladies, the first year we did not speak on profit at all. We spoke on the impact to the women. What are we going to do to impact our local women to learn more about business, learn more about life, how to juggle and things like that? We are on our second year. We've sold out all four of our events. As we're talking right now, there's some ladies doing a local event here for that company. So it's always been about the impact. So those are the first three things besides the tools and all that. And then to me, you get into the tools, the email marketing, the podcast, you know, and all that fun stuff. To me, those come after that, because that's going to help me identify what type of system you want to use. Do you want to do email marketing? Do you want to do a funnel? Is a funnel a thing for you? Because those things are not for everybody. So those are the top three things I would tell them.
Okay. And when do you think about, or for someone who has been in a company or been in a business and they've been working on that company, when do you think it's appropriate for that person to just go ahead and give up? If they wanted to give up, if they saw this isn't working, when do you think it's appropriate for them to say, I give up?
So I have a personal situation with the word give up. when you no longer, I'm trying to put this in. And so when I lost my first business, the reason why I lost it is because I wanted to do everything myself. And when I closed it, I gave up because it was no longer a part of me anymore. It was a job. So to me, when I think about a business as a job, that would be a good sign. And it may be time to shift. So when it feels like, oh, here we go again. Oh, here we go with client calls or, you know, here we go. We got, if you're a web designer, here we go with this website. When it feels like a job, it's time to just let it go. And that is okay. And that's the thing. We hold on to certain things, business, life, situations, and that is okay to let it go when you feel like it's a job. So when you get to that point, and what does that look like? You're just tired. You're working, you know, every day I'm hustling. Who made that song? Rick Ross? Is that, or is that? Yeah. Every day I'm hustling. I personally like the song, but if you actually listen to it, you don't get no sleep. So if you don't get no sleep, are you being productive? Are you being a productive mom, citizen, business owner? Probably not. Most likely not. So when it feels like a job.
Yeah. And so what's your number one tip or advice for those people who may be starting a company or, you know, building a product? What's your number one tip for them?
Do it and do it scared. Do it and do it scared. And I even get butterflies when I say that. But everything that I do, if anybody follows me, and I'm giving all my information later, but if anyone follows me, everything I do is scared. Because when I was comfortable, I was broke mentally, spiritually, and financially. When I actually embrace what I'm supposed to do, like talk about grief, loss, and I'm a life and business mentor. When I did something uncomfortable, that's when I start gaining that abundance that I have been searching and looking for majority of my life. So do it scared and do it now. That's my tip for them.
Okay. Thank you for that. And I just got one more question because I know that you're kind of pressed for time, but I don't want to hold you too long.
Okay.
But I just have to ask, who's your biggest influence in life for your journey?
One person?
I mean, number one person, at least for business, your number one person.
Oh man. For business, my number one person would be, it's between two people. Oh my God. Okay. So my number one person would be Audrea Richmond. She's in Atlanta, Georgia. She is a marketing, I don't even know what to say. There's no word for her. She has Uncloned, the Uncloned brand. I don't know if you ever heard of it, but literally if you put her name, it all pops up. I have yet to meet her. I will be meeting her. I'm just going to claim all of that. And watching her grow just from the internet, and just seeing her be very transparent I just am in awe of her. Just all in awe of her. Like, I'm like, oh my gosh. You know, like, she's amazing. All I can do is tell you, Uncloned Marketing is her her membership. Uncloned, she's a 3-time best-selling author, but she's very transparent about her journey. So that's one person I got. Look, I have one more. Okay. So the second person is Ayana. Now, I can relate to who Ayana is. I can relate to what she does. But what really amazes me is the same woman that helps people heal, she also is going through some healing processes too. And before From Grief to Grind came, that was one of my personal things. Like, I'm still healing. How can I help people to heal? But you want to know the truth about that? Helping women write, helping siblings through grief, helping my clients through their business, helping my other clients go through life transitions to build their confidence has helped me grow, has helped me heal, and it's helped me see the world in a whole different light. So those are the two people that I'm just in awe of all the time.
So Ayana, basically, she helps people through their journey while she's suffering or dealing with her pain as well.
Yes, 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 yes.
First person that you mentioned, what was her name again?
Audria, A-U-D-R-I-A, Richmond, R-I-C-H-M-O-N-D.
And she does.
She's a marketing expert, but it's really no word for her. Like, she's like beyond her years. And here's the most interesting thing about her is I've taken some trainings with her. You know, she's on IG. She's, you know, all over social media, but she's the exact same person. Like, you don't get, you know how you take a training or you meet someone and they're kind of two different people? Mm-hmm. You get all of her, all of the honesty, all of the transparency. And she, like, for example, she works with Six Figure Chick. Do you know who that is?
I think I've heard of her.
Okay, so, yes, her name is Cece. Cece is another marketing expert who is awesome. She's like my third person, but they're awesome. Well, they all work together, you know? So to me, that speaks volumes, because one thing as women, especially as Black women, we have this thing about working and competing and collaborating. We don't know what we should do. And I'll be the first to tell you, I work with other coaches. When I collaborate, they're coaches. They do the same. They do something similar, but we all have our own special twist. And I purposely do that because for me, I want to show my daughter, you cheer, you can go work with another cheerleader from another school. That, do it. Because it's enough abundance for everybody. So, yeah.
I have got to research Audria Richmond, and she's over yes. Unquote Marketing. And then I have the Ariana, was it?
It's Ayana Vincent that, you know, she's Ayana. She's all over the place. Her and Oprah. Well, what really encouraged me is her and Oprah had stopped talking.
Wow.
Yeah, they had stopped talking for some years. And a few years back, when Oprah had her show, her and Oprah wanted to regain their friendship. So if you get a chance, if you're like sitting there like, what to watch? Watch their interview. And this is, and I'm getting goosebumps because like this is how passionate I am about relationships with Black women. Watching them go through like, what happened? How did we get here? It wasn't pretty. We've got tears, hugs. And they're both being totally transparent with everything. I mean, and I'm going to tell you, the interview is not like fluffy at all. So you're going to get all of of everything. So watching that at that moment, I knew who Ayana was. But at that moment, I respected her so much more. Because who has those candid conversations if I'm not talking to you? Could we really get on TV and really sit down and talk about that? And be totally honest of what happened, how I felt, how you felt. Well, I don't like how you felt, but I'm going to respect it. I'm sorry, sister. I didn't mean to come off that way. That's what you're going to get in the interview. Right. Yeah.
And I have one question. Is that like the baseline of what you should do when it comes to maybe, you know, you falling out with someone or you lose like a friendship or something like that? Do you use that as like a baseline? for, you know, helping your clients?
I do. I use that as a baseline, but I also believe in having healthy relationships. So I have been in a spot, and in the last book, From Grief to Grind, I talk about how I lost a family relative and they were still walking. That's exactly my title. And I had to have a sit down. And the things I wanted to come out of it, it came out. So many other things came out. And one thing I learned about sitting and talking to someone about a falling out or a misunderstanding is that it is okay to have a different opinion, but love needs to conquer all of that. That does not mean you talk to them every day. What it means is that you have solved what you need to solve and you love them for who they are. Now, if you want to pursue that, you know, if you want to hang out with them and things like that, that's something you have to be comfortable with. But like I tell my clients that it has to be healthy for you. If it's not healthy, then how can you push your business or push your kids and, you know, have success in your own right? So, yes. Yeah.
Well, thank you so much, Mrs. Moore. And I had a great time with this interview. And we've probably recorded this for, I don't know, the third time so far. But it was really fun being here with you and hearing just your story. And, you know, mental health for me is kind of very, very important. And that's why I started this organization. And so you've given me a lot of advice. And I hope that you, a lot of my listeners kind of jot all of these notes down. But you have a very powerful story, and I just thank you for agreeing to do this interview with me again. Thank you.
Thank you. And thank you for being one of the many pillars of mental health awareness. It is so, so important. And as someone who has had depression, anxiety, I personally am just grateful for you having me even saying, hey, do you want to be on? I'm like, yes, of course, because, you know, and community-wise, we are now just being honest.
Right.
And being honest is the best. I tell people being honest is probably the most rewarding feeling because you know you walked away and was real. You were real when you walked away. When you're like, I don't feel like it today. And my favorite saying, and my clients laugh at me. They think I'm a crazy girl. But they're always like, I tell them, if you're not okay today, say it. So if you follow me on Facebook, Andrea A. Moore, Twitter, Instagram, I'll tell you I'm not okay today. Why? Because I can walk away and say I was real. And if you check on me, I'll tell you why. Or I might even say why. Or a couple of weeks ago, I was on live crying. And everybody's like, oh my God, you cried. Yeah. I'm a whole human, so yes, I want to thank you for this platform and I just love it. Thank you so much.
So, Two Young Hearts, and I'll see you right back here on March 9th and have a great day.
You too.